Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
In the concubines. What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia. Points north, south, east, and west. We're out west, Ashburn, Virginia. Commanders getting ready for the Las Vegas Raiders. We're all still kind of in wait-and-see mode with the quarterback, Jaden Daniels or Marcus Mariota. We know Jaden's fighting through that knee sprain. Mariota's good to go. The team is confident in him, should that be the call. B-Mitch got stuff going on today. Toby Altizer sitting in with me. What up, Tobo? How you doing?
What's going on, dude? I'm all baseballed out, so I think I'm fully on. I was already on to football season when you've got a forgettable baseball team and football season's rolled around. But now that we're past, I think I went to my final baseball game of the year. I went to 60-some. But now that's in the past.
You went to 60 baseball games to watch a bad team?
I think I went to 65 some baseball games.
How many were you paid for?
Seven.
Oh, dog. We got to get you a girlfriend. ladies, call in. 800-636-1067. Let's get Toby a girlfriend before the day is out. That is too much, man, because you probably went to some Peanuts games. Did you go up to Camden Yards at all?
I went to one game at Camden. I was hoping for some playoff baseball at Camden, but that's not going to happen.
Me too.
Yeah, but thankfully, that's over with. On to football season.
It's been football season, Tobo.
Well, okay. I've transitioned to football season, so now I don't have to go to any baseball games anymore.
Lanville, you hear that? Toby has transitioned. We're proud of him. We support him no matter what happens. It's funny, you've been to 60 Nats games, right? Good for you. That's an astonishing amount of baseball to take in for what is a really bad product.
Yeah.
What stands out to me about that, though, is the game experience of going to a Nats game has dramatically changed. Like, going to Nats Park, I mean, there's some traffic, blah, 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 but, like, going to Nats Park is a pleasant experience. And the biggest news we heard yesterday, as much as like we're hyper-focused on Jaden and Mariota and what it means for this week, the D.C. Council passing the RFK Stadium bill is generational. That's going to impact millions of people over decades.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I always thought it would – once they had the first vote and that got through – and, like, honestly, just smart people. We'll talk to our buddy Joe Maloney about it in a couple minutes. Like, smart people have been telling me for some time this is going to happen. I know some, like, lobbyists behind the scenes that have been telling me for 2 years from the Capitol Hill angle of this is going to happen. But, like, knowing it's going to happen and then finally seeing it done, seeing the team put out a statement about, you know, what this means, how it's going to go, I know for you it doesn't mean a lot. Like, it's just a new stadium to you.
No, but I'm glad that it's going to be in the city, right? I mean, it means more when it's in the city. It's always that way. It doesn't matter what sport it is. It just means more when you're around, and it gives you options to do things. Like, we're talking about Nationals Park, and you can ride the Metro there. You could take a water taxi. You could drive down there. You can do a bunch of stuff, and there's stuff all around it. You can't do any of that. Go into FedEx or Northwest. And it's something that's missing. And, you know, having been to just a couple of NFL stadiums, there's stuff around other NFL stadiums. There just isn't anything around Northwest Stadium. And that's kind of with the location. That's just kind of how it goes. But I know some people are frustrated about missing out on tailgating, but
can I tell you something?
But
can I tell you something that happens on the planet Earth? Where there's a will, there's a way.
Yeah.
People will tailgate.
They'll find a place. Like, I mean, I went to Soldier Field. JP, there's not parking lots right next to Soldier Field. People are still tailgating.
Right. Like, I've been to every state. I've covered games at every stadium in the NFL. There are urban stadiums across the league. People figure it out.
Yeah.
Atlanta, Detroit, Seattle, people figure it out. Those stadiums are downtown. And honestly, I think people just view things through their current prism of like, well, I drive to Landover and I park in D20 and I tailgate. It's going to look different. It's going to feel different. You're going to have different options. Maybe you're not going to want to park in D20 and tailgate. I hear the tailgate crowd. I hear the people that were against the stadium. Like, I want to be cognizant and receptive to all viewpoints. I just think this is such a massive deal for the city to get this kind of development on that end of East Capitol and what things will look. I don't think it's an accident at all that they're so hell-bent on 2030. One, just to get the games going, but that Women's World Cup in 2031.
Yes.
Typically, the World Cup finals are held in New York or L.A. It's at the Rose Bowl, SoFi, the incredibly boring Meadowlands Stadium, whatever, right? And I understand what New York and L.A. are in our country. Like, I understand that. But you get a brand new, super dope stadium, you know, right down the street from the United States Capitol. I think you got a chance of having the women's final in D.C. Like, everything will change with this, and it just is the further, you know, signification of how this operation, this organization now does everything the right way.
Yeah.
And I just think it's so damn exciting.
Yeah, I love it because you think about, you mentioned the World Cup. I mean, just think about if they were holding it in Germany or if they're holding it in London or England. You think they're skipping London? You think they're skipping Berlin? You're not skipping the capital city of the country, right? But somehow, because of the lack of infrastructure and the bad stadium, people just keep skipping D.C. around here. And look, I get, like you said, New York, I get L.A., I get all that stuff. We're still D.C. We don't have to act second class to anybody.
Right.
We're the nation's capital. So I'm thrilled to have something that we can call our own. You're going to get big-time events. You're going to get a Super Bowl. You're going to get a Final Four. You're going to get all these things. And the thing that I'm excited about now, JP, is now we're on to the stage that I think people get excited about, where before it was, is it going to happen? Is it not going to happen? And people are saying it is. People are saying it's not. And we're talking about votes. And we're talking. Now we can say, this is what I want in the stadium. This is the amenity I want. This is the tailgating I want. This is all the stuff that now goes into the fun of that. We're going to have to have give and take as fans, right? Like, there's going to be some people that are happy, some people aren't. But now it's on to, we're building this thing. What are some amenities you want? That's the fun part. What are the concession food like? What are the, I'm excited about seeing, like, the vision and how this thing all goes on. And it's finally done where you don't have to worry about, is this ever going to happen or not? Now it's going to happen.
It's happening. Landfill, as he always does, has some questions for us. How excited for the new stadium are you, Toby?
Fired up. Fired up. I wasn't necessarily as worried about it going to the RFK location. It doesn't have as much of a sentimental value to me, but something that rings in my mind every time we talk about this was Joe Theismann. I can't remember exactly where he had said it. I don't know if it was with you guys or someone else, but he basically said this is a perfect way to kind of tie in previous generations of fans with the current generation, where, you know, me, Stallion, guys my, our age, big deal, right? It's going to RFK. We just want a new stadium. But for fans like my uncle and my family that's been around and saw the Super Bowls, they're thrilled that it's going back to the location.
Did you ever go to a Nats game at RFK?
I went to one, I think.
Okay.
I went to
not
one.
Not 60?
No, not 60.
But,
yeah, I think it's perfect where you can kind of tie those generations together and where so much has been kind of torn apart because of the name change and all these different things. Now you can kind of tie those back together with a winning football team, hopefully, and that's beautiful.
And you bring back the old unis, hopefully, eventually, that you just wear those again.
Yeah.
It looks like they're incorporating the Spear logo, which, again, is new. That spear is for the Commanders. They're not going back, but like, it does give you a sense of tying it all together. I think the team, I think the leadership of this team now is really trying to make this embracing the past and moving forward. As far as the new stadium for me, I'm thrilled. One, just driving out to Landover, it just feels so soulless. It's kind of similar to the Meadowlands, right? Because it's just off the side of the highway, surrounded by parking lots. I think this means something. So if you're my age and you remember RFK and the seats bouncing, it means a lot. It was funny, though. So I was at NBC last night, New All Ears. Go check it out on YouTube. And there's a young PA there, Kai, who I like Kai a lot. He's a smart kid. He's been out here for training camp and stuff. And I was like, dude, are you excited about RFK? And he's like, not really. Like, I think if you're – like, I think Stallion has said this. Like, I think for young people, the location of the stadium doesn't really matter. They just want a dope new stadium.
Yeah.
And that's okay. Like, you know what you're going to get now? A dope new stadium. And I think if that's your drive, awesome. If it is the nostalgia of RFK, awesome. But I think it can be all things for all people. Like, I think the location – if you look at our city – right? Like, if you look at just the DMV overall, that location is pretty damn centralized.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's hard to argue. Like, if you're coming from Fairfax or Germantown, it's probably a little bit closer. If you're coming from Southern Maryland, it's probably a little bit closer. Like, there's metro's an option. Like, I think by 2030, the amount of, like, driverless cars and stuff. Like, I just think everything's going to look so different, and I think it just makes a ton of sense. I think it shows that this group doesn't mess around and gets stuff done, and I think it's really exciting. Lanfield asks a good question here. He says, do you believe this is actually the final vote? And I had that thought driving out to Ashburn this morning, like, dude, this is actually done. Like, it's done.
Yeah.
And could there be other procedural stuff? Of course. But I at least feel like this is done. And next step is like shovels in the ground.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like the next vote might be on whether that third parking garage or whatever it is, like stuff that is ancillary to the actual big stadium, right? Like, that's going to happen. Stuff around it, maybe issues, or there's going to be hiccups, no doubt, in the construction, and there's going to be different things to pop up. But nothing to this point, or at this point, is going to be to the level of what we've been talking about where, oh, is it going to get derailed with some of the reports that came out yesterday or before the first vote, and is this ever going to happen? It's going to happen. It's just now the extra stuff that comes with building a new stadium. And, yeah, I'm thrilled about it.
It's exciting, man, and hopefully fans are excited. I think a lot of people understand the enormity of it, and if you don't, and it's just like, okay, cool, they're getting a new stadium, that's cool too. There's no wrong answer unless you're one of the people that's like, nah, I wanted it in Dumfries or stay in Landover.
I mean, I'm just thrilled that we're going to have like the crown jewel of a sporting capital finally, right? Just having something where you can go to the stadium. It's not constantly talked about how dumpy your stadium is, and you feel second class because your stadium is second class, right? And you can finally feel like, okay, in the nation's capital, we're hosting big events. You're going to have – I know people get annoyed with the Taylor Swift stuff, but the fact that Taylor Swift on a massive concert that people are spending thousands of dollars on tickets to go to, they're skipping D.C.? Like, that shouldn't happen. And so you're going to have that now. You're going to have a Final Four. You're going to have a Super Bowl.
Some K-pop.
I've never had a Super Bowl anywhere that's really been accessible to me, right? I mean, I'm thrilled about the draft coming here, but that's totally different than the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it's a different entity.
So it's going to be so sick to have all that stuff now in D.C. where – we have big events all the time, like you talk about. Every 4 years, there's a presidential election, inauguration, all that stuff.
Right.
We have big events like that all the time.
There's protests that get hundreds of thousands of people. Right?
But for us sports fans, you finally get that big-time event that everyone else around the nation gets to seemingly enjoy. The New Yorks, the LAs, heck, even Minneapolis hosting a Super Bowl, all those cities.
Minneapolis should not host a Super Bowl.
D.C. finally gets one, right? D.C. gets one for the first time in something like that, for the first time in forever.
Yeah, man, it's really exciting. Lanfield, what's your excitement level? Do you feel like it's really a done deal?
I'm like 85% sure that it's a done deal. I honestly thought like three votes ago was going to be the final vote, so I'm still a little skeptical on that one. My excitement level for the stadium, I'd say I'm like a 5 or a 6.
Let me ask you something. Will you go to the new stadium?
Maybe once.
Really?
Yeah.
That's exciting. Yeah. When's the last time you went to Northwest?
When they got crushed by the Bears on Thursday Night Football.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, you went with Greg.
Yeah.
That was the day Dick Butkus died.
Okay.
I think I've told this story. So that's a Thursday night game. I'm there early. And a person with the organization when the news got out that Dick Butkus died, somebody that worked for the team, for the Commanders, was like, damn, he couldn't wait till tomorrow? Just because there was an obvious sentiment like, Bears ain't losing on the day
Bears
Dick
are gonna
Butkus
win.
Died.
Bears are going to win. And they definitely did.
And that was the low point of the Rivera era, and there were others. Jeffrey, you were clear. You were, I don't want to say few, because I know that this subset of people existed, and I think it hits home for you as somebody that grew up kind of in the shadows of where Northwest Stadium is now. You wanted them to stay there. Now it's official. They're going to move. How are you feeling about all this?
I'm happy about it. The team returning back. Like I said, I only wanted it to stay there for personal selfish reasons, because it's easier for me to get to the stadium. That's it. But a new stadium in D.C., I'm excited. I can't wait till it's built.
Also, Jeff, by the year 2030, you think you're going to be living in the same place? Like, you might move, dog.
Yeah, nah, I'm not going to be living in the same place. I might not be living in the same place in a year.
Yeah. I mean, considering how many people try to steal your car, I've long advocated for you to move.
Yes, I am getting out of the hood. I can't do it no more.
We need to get Jeff to, like, McLean. Like, let's find Jeff a safe neighborhood.
No. I think I'll go to Southern Maryland. I'm a Maryland boy. I like Maryland. I want to be by the water. I like the weather. I'm not going to Virginia. Sorry.
Yeah, how are you feeling?
Way different than Maryland weather, by the way.
How you feeling, Jeffrey? You were sick, and you got pepper soup, and now you're back?
Yeah, man. I don't know what was going on yesterday, but, hey, let me tell you something, JP. That pepper soup will have your body temperature by at least 20 degrees when you eat it. It will raise it so high. I was so hot yesterday after eating that soup, man. You would die. You would cry. You would cry for sure.
Okay. Well, I probably won't eat it, but I'm glad to know it's an option. If I get a chest cold, there's pepper soup from Jeff's buddy.
Yeah, they want to pass on that.
You're anti-pepper soup, Tobo?
Yeah, I'm passing on that.
All right. We got a packed show. Really exciting about the RFK stuff. Obviously, we got to dig into the quarterback situation, all the injuries here. Maryland Governor Wes Moore is going to join us at 11, giving us his picks. We're going to talk to Peter Rosenberg. We're going to talk to Sean Merriman a little later. I want to talk to Merriman about what he saw from Josh Connerly, Commander's rookie tackle, who really struggled against Parsons, has another big challenge coming this week with Max Crosby. JT the Brick covers the Raiders. We'll talk to JT the Brick at 1:30, get a real Raiders preview. Their offense has been stagnant. Washington's hasn't been good. But I'm very curious to see kind of what the Raiders crowd thinks of their offense so far. It's going to be a packed show. We got plenty to get into, plenty to discuss. Just on a personal level, man, I used to go to RFK Stadium. My mom did a ton of events there. I used to go all the time. I remember going with my family. Then as I got older, I remember going with my friends, going to HF Festival, Skins games, Nats games, DC United games. I cannot wait. Truly, I cannot wait. I was texting with members of ownership about this yesterday. Like, on a personal level, the emotions I will feel taking my daughters to RFK, whatever it's called, whatever it looks like, understanding that it's not the same, but just being at the same location, being downtown, that land, the actual land with the waterfront done correctly, will be beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
It's going, and I think they're going to do everything right. I think you're going to have affordable housing. You're going to have green spaces. You're going to have parks. You're going to have grocery stores. Like, I remember when I was out of college and I lived in Northeast, Nats come back, they're playing at RFK. And then they announced where they're trying to build Nats Park. And I remember me and my roommate, Pistu, driving just around that area. And it was nothing. It was like industrial, like, wasteland. And there were, like, some weird strip clubs and stuff. Like, it was a weird area around Nats Park. And there was some housing, but not a ton. The housing was on the other side of South Cap. And I remember driving around there and now going there all the time for the radio studio and going to Nats games, whatever. Or just going to the wharf or Navy Yard waterfront. Like, what you can do, what a stadium can do, built correctly and incorporating the surrounding area, will transform that neighborhood. And I think for current property owners, for people that live there, you're going to make a lot of money. Your equity is going to shoot through the roof. And will there be some hurdles with construction and stuff? Yeah, but like, drive around the city anyway. There's going to be construction over there anyway. The end result to me will absolutely justify the means. And I know when I walk in there for the first time with my daughters and my family, it's going to be an emotional thing. And I cannot wait to see it and be there, and I'm really happy for all the grief and comments Brian and I have made about the council and needing to get this done. They got it done, and the ends justify the means for me. I think they're going to build something incredible, and I think it's going to be good for all residents of the DMV. I really do. You know what else is good for all residents of the DMV? The Orsman Automotive Group of Virginia. They've been serving area car buyers for over 100 years. And with that kind of track record, you know they're doing something right. They've got convenient locations all over Northern Virginia, where apparently Jeff won't live. From Alexandria to Chantilly, Kias, Fords, Lincolns, Chrysler, Dodge, Chevy, Buick, GMC, two Toyota stores. They'll take care of you. They've taken care of me. I'm on my fourth Orsman Automotive of Virginia vehicle. Bemidji has gotten like 1,000. There's a reason we keep going back. They take care of us, and they'll take care of you. They've got a tremendous selection of quality certified used vehicles also. Great financing, which is a big deal right now. Maybe rates are creeping down a little bit. Plus, they've got the Orsman Lifetime Edge, which give you up to $1,500 in extras, complimentary car washes, loaner cars, and a lifetime engine guarantee. Plus, if maybe you're looking to flip your car, maybe you want to sell it, Orsman will pay up to $125 of the Kelley Blue Book value, regardless of make, model, or year. Philosophy is simple at Orsman. They take care of their customers, keep them happy, keep them coming back. Me and B are among them. What they say at Orsman Automotive of Virginia, let's ride together.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Wanted to kind of talk about the process of getting this RFK thing over the hump, man, and into the done deal category. My friend Joe Maloney used to work for, I don't know, I think Maloney might have worked for the Redskins, then the football team, and the Commanders. I don't know your exact timeline when you worked for the team. Did you work for all three names? Were you hired by the Redskins?
Only saw two names. The team, okay. The football team, and the Commanders.
Okay. All right. So our friend Joe Maloney now works at the American Gaming Association, but worked for the Washington organization under various names. Yo, it was so funny. Preston Smith back in the locker room yesterday. He's like, yeah, you know, I wasn't here for the identity crisis. It just made me laugh so much. But all right. So Joe, when you were working for the team, you had what I imagine was an incredibly difficult task of trying to get the RFK thing on track with politicians that wanted nothing to do with the owner of the organization. What's it like for you to see this thing, what appears to me anyway, through the finish line?
Thanks for the question. Great to be on. I'm immensely proud to have played a role. The stadium search and the RFK effort, it's probably 10 years old, right? It goes back to about 2015 when, believe it or not, Bruce and Dan were roaming the halls of the Wilson building trying to get.
Oh, dude, I got a one-on-one with Bruce on Freedom Plaza after he went to City Hall, and they just thought they'd waltz in there and get it done.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I was part of the club for 3 years, so I guess you could say I own basically a third, if you will, of this stadium exercise. So yeah, I'm super happy to have been a part of it and played a very, very small role. But, you know, JP, to your point, the only reason this happens is because of two people. It's Muriel Bowser and Josh Harris, right? Full stop. And this mayor has proven enormously competent at getting big deals like this done. And Josh is, in effect, the savior for this franchise and for this region. And it's just super, it's super excited. As happy as I am to play a small role, I'm just particularly just happy for the fans. I mean, just hearing you talk about what the experience is going to be like for you when that day comes, what it'll be like for B. Mitch, who I know is not on the show today, but for the legends that played on that turf and on those grounds, it's just going to be a spectacular moment.
Yeah, I mean, it's not overly simplified to say selling the team was the largest hurdle. Did you see that as soon as the team was sold to Josh Harris that this was probably an inevitability, just the timeline was the last thing in the air?
Yeah, I've always been asked, what's the low point of my experience like when I was with the club? And it was, I think JP was like week two or week three in 2022, and Sarver had just been kicked out of the NBA. And I think in that moment, I knew the stadium deal wasn't going to happen. Just wasn't. Like, I remember talking to Nicky Javala in the back of the press box after that game. That was, of course, the Wentz threw an interception at the goal line game. And
fun times.
just knew at that point, like, it was done. I was updating the resume later that night, right? And then 3 weeks later, Dan and Tanya announced an intent to sell, and Jason and I sat in room, then team president Jason Wright, and just we had nothing else to do other than go for broke on the stadium stuff. And that's when we just went into turbocharge mode, because to your question, it's anybody but Dan was going to significantly just boost momentum. And when it became very obvious in the spring of 23 that it was going to be, you know, a Josh Harris and a homegrown native investment group was going to come together, it just, everybody wanted to be a part of this, whether no matter the jurisdiction, but obviously RFK was going to eventually be a front runner, just given the emotional and the spiritual ties. So it truly it's Josh Harris and Muriel Bowser, period, full stop.
Yeah, remember which local reporter was first to tell you Harris is going to get the team, and everybody's talking about Bezos. Talking with our friend Joe Maloney here. He's at American Gaming Association now, used to work for the Commanders, really tried to kickstart this effort to get back to RFK when the going was very rough. I want to, for a lot of fans, you know, they voted on this thing, then they had to vote again. Now it seems done. The team put out a statement. How much more procedural stuff is there? And, like, what, if any, hurdles still remain?
Yeah, there's a ton left to do, but Lanville can rest easy. Lanville can rest easy. There will not be another public vote or public referendum on this in any form. The work that gets done now is regulatory in nature. It's environmental in nature. It's permitting. It's entitlement. It's deeding. It's engineering. There will be a public input process that will take place in and around the site and the communities that are there. You know, there's advisory neighborhood commissions, ANCs, as they're referred to in DC, that will have input into the process, and the team will lead that and shepherd that alongside the city. So there's so much that you will hear about, but this deal is done, and this stadium is going to get built. Ground will be broken. And the process will begin. But just know that the process moving forward, it just becomes very tedious, very expensive. But, you know, politics is ultimately an exercise in how and when you decide to deploy political capital for the purposes of achieving an objective. That work is done. The objective has been achieved. And the Commanders are coming back.
How legit is 2030 to you?
I think that's going to be super hard. And I think the league was right to be very clear about its deadlines on council consideration. When the then DC United ownership and the DC council and the mayor came to an agreement on Audi Field, that was sent to the DC council in June of that year. That deal did not get done until the following December, JP. So they sat on that for 18 months. And so I think the Commanders were particularly clear about expectations around timing in order to be competitive for some of the stuff you guys were talking about in the previous segment. There's major events, and these major events, they run very, very stringent and disciplined selection criteria and selection processes. And so if you want to be in the mix for 2031 Women's World Cup, all of the sort of hyperventilating around getting this deal done so you can be in position to win those types of events at your stadium, that was all very real. And so they're gonna be putting a shovel in the ground as soon as possible. But I do think it's going to be really, really hard. I think the only example out there of a stadium getting built on an absurd timeline was Allegiant Stadium, and I think they did that in just under 4 years. The standard timeline to achieve something of this size and this scale is certainly in the 4 to 5 year range. So we're super close. We got to move quick.
Allegiant is also Vegas, and they just get stuff done and like don't have. I feel like
correct.
Looking at Vegas versus anything else is like, I mean, SoFi. Now, granted, they had mudslides or whatever. That took a while. I feared you would say 2030 seems hard, but I also kind of deep down knew that. You know what I mean? Like, it's, right. I don't know, middle of September of 2025. Like, yeah. They got a lot to do. How excited are you just on somebody that worked in the trenches on this thing and now know what's going to happen?
I was hearing you talk about what it's going to feel like when you bring your daughters. And, you know, I play that scenario a lot in my head, JP. And I got to remind everybody, I didn't grow up here, right? I went to RFK when the Nats came back for that magical 2005 summer. And that was a ton of fun.
That informs
how I think about what my experience will be like. And I live in Bethesda. Like, we're going to go drive to Bethesda Metro on a Sunday morning. We're going to park there. We're going to take the train to Union Station. And I just always imagine a beautiful fall day, and I'm walking down East Capitol from Union Station. It's a 45-minute walk. And it's going to be euphoric. People are going to be pouring out of their homes on Capitol Hill. And you are going to walk across that massive greenway that they're going to build leading up to the stadium as you pass the armory on your right. And it's going to be this awe-inspiring structure. And you're going to turn around, and you're going to look down East Capitol, and you're going to see a sea of humanity following you in burgundy and gold. And I just get chills thinking about it. And I just simply cannot imagine what it will feel like to be somebody like you or somebody like B. Mitch that will have that moment as well. It's just going to be magical. It truly will be. And I think, look, I respect the folks like Landfill and others that like don't feel that. But if there's one thing I truly felt in my job and my responsibility, just simply because of where I am right now in life, I'm a 45-year-old with kids that, you know, and I'm on soccer fields and I'm at preschool drop-offs and everything. And if you are any individual over the age of 35 that grew up with this team and saw this era of glory back in the 80s and 90s, like that's what this means to you. And for those that are under the age of 35 and just didn't quite have that and have only known malaise with the first half of their fandom with this franchise, like it's okay to feel that way. But I can assure you that this structure and the environment that they'll create, and to what you said earlier in the segment, like this ownership doesn't miss. That's going to continue, and it will feel that great for everybody.
Yeah, man. Well said. Dude, are people chilling out with the social media attacking players and stuff? I know that was a priority for you guys, and we were trying to – if you lose a bet or a player prop, don't go tweeting at the player and be a jerk.
Yeah, thanks for the partnership that we had over the course of the first 2 weeks as the NFL season kicked off. I don't know the answer to that question yet. And obviously we're as a society right now, we're experiencing a lot, right? And we just need to stop reacting in real time on social media. We need to touch grass. And we need to realize that, whether it's the result of a bet or, you know, what some elected official may or may not have said yesterday at a hearing for a stadium, like we all just need to take a bead, right? And, you know, what we're just trying to achieve is just to remind folks, athletes don't care about the result of your bet. you know, the analogy I make is like I play a lot of golf, and when I'm done playing golf and I walk into the pro shop, the pro sitting there, he or she does not care that I almost chipped in on 16. Just doesn't. They don't care. They literally don't care. So,
accurate.
Look, you miss a parlay, that athlete online really does not care. So just trying to remind folks, keep it cool. And like I said, we appreciate the partnership and just encourage folks to bet legally should they decide to get in on the action this year.
Be cool, fool. They don't want to roll up. Thank you for the time, Joe. Appreciate you, Joe. Man. Thank you. And take congrats, care, dude. Take a little ownership of that.
Appreciate you guys. Have a great day.
All right. Joe Maloney, I mean, imagine having your hands in the dirt trying to sell politicians on dealing with Dan. You know how hard that is?
That's an incredibly hard job. It's funny, though. He was talking about walking down and there being that burgundy and gold just crowd. That's kind of what I was thinking. He just voiced it. And you get chills thinking about that. Where when's the last time in downtown D.C. that you've seen just a large group of burgundy and gold?
Hell yeah. Let's talk injuries for the burgundy and gold, because this is a long list. Nobody go anywhere. It's B. Mitchell Finley.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
And I think it's legitimate. If everybody does what they're supposed to do, Jaden or Marcus, the ball's going to move. Terry, though, always insightful, talked about, you know, this is a rhythmic offense, and to get into our rhythm, we need to convert on third downs. They've been bad on third down, 6 of 16 through two games. They were really good on third down last year. The thing I want to see the most, and there's a host of factors that go into this, right? You got to run the ball to be good on third down.
Yep.
You got to get advantageous down and distance on third down. You got to stop with the penalties, because third and 12 most of the time ain't happening. Third and 3, you got a chance. But we were just talking about in the break, I want to see this coaching staff return to an aggressive mindset, and it seems through two games they have not operated in that space, and I don't know why, and I want to see it return.
Yeah, I mean, you watch that Packer game, and that was the big talking point for me coming out of it, was how scared seemingly the game plan was on offense and defense. And specifically offensively, you got to throw some stuff down the field to open up some of the other stuff, because you're going to do the horizontal stuff with Debo. You're going to find ways to get the ball underneath. You're going to do all that stuff. But I'd like to see a deep shot. I'd like to see the run game more involved. I'd like to see all those things. And to your point, if you're not able to convert on third downs, like, think about how early that in the Packers game, them going 3-and-out early multiple times really played a part in why they lost that game, because the Packers were able to get some momentum. Even though you're able to stop them on fourth down, you're not able to do anything with that. And so you've got to find a way to sustain some drives and get some of that offense into a rhythm, and that's part of it. Like you said, is if you're not able to convert on third down and get these drives going, then you're in a bad spot. And so I'd like to see them be more aggressive. And also, you're talking about those short yardage situations. If you can get to a third manageable, it opens up the whole playbook, because chances are...
And it opens up going for it on fourth down.
Exactly right. Because if you're at 3rd and 3 and you decide to run the ball, you get 2. Now it's 4th and 1. That's right. Manageable. You can go for it if you'd like. So they just got to be more aggressive. And, you know, I know some people are worried about the chemistry earlier in the year, and that's going to happen. It happens with a lot of teams around the league, and you can get frustrated with the way they handle training camp and all that stuff. That's completely valid. But regardless, you've got to be aggressive. You've got to go out there. And last year it felt like as the year went on, they were the bully. They were the team that was going to push the envelope. They were going to set the intensity. And that didn't happen in Green Bay, certainly. And it didn't, you know, they dominated that Giants game, not maybe not on the scoreboard, but they kind of dominated that game overall.
They won by two touchdowns.
So you feel good about that one. But in Green Bay against a good football team, you know, you feel like if you have improved the talent, like I think everybody feels about this team, the talent gap is still there a little bit. I think the Packers are a better overall team, but you shouldn't play like that. You shouldn't play scared. And I understand that the offensive line has had some struggles early on, but you improve that unit, you should be able to trust them to be able to push the ball down the field and do some things. Completely agree they have to be much more aggressive in their game planning against Vegas and going forward.
Commanders had two possessions in the first quarter against the Packers. They gained 11 yards and punted twice, three and outs. They gained six on the first drive, five on the second drive. Like, it's just not going to get it done. I am trying to remind myself to look at the totality of two games across the league. And when you look at the totality of everything we've seen thus far from 32 teams, I think Washington's totally fine. When you look at the silo of the Packers game, holy hell, can they do anything right?
Yeah.
The reality of that is somewhere in the middle, and ideally this week against the Raiders, we get to see somewhere in the middle. If not, the high end. You know what would be okay this weekend? Kick the Raiders' ass. That's okay.
Yes.
No one will be upset.
I'd prefer it, actually.
I bet you would, Toby. I bet you would. We got a game tonight. Bills-Dolphins. Packed slate this week. When we come back, Maryland Governor Wes Moore will join the program for his weekly picks. If you bet with the Gov, you're going to make some money. Nobody go anywhere.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.